Holy Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us the Word of God so that we might know what the true gospel is. We thank Thee that in Thy Word Thou hast warned us of what to be careful of. And Father, we pray that we may not become seduced by other gospels because they may look so glamorous, because there might be some kind of an outward show, that there might be some manifestation. We pray that we may realize that the kingdom of God is within us, within the heart of those who are children of God, those who have really been born from above, and that the fruit of the Spirit is that we love Thee, that we therefore in our love for Thee want to be obedient to all that we have in Thy Word. And as a consequence of our love, there will be that tenderness and that compassion and self-control and these other characteristics of the child of God. And Father, we thank Thee for the very clear evidence from the Word of what we ought to be when we are a child of God. And we pray that this may be what our aspiration may be also. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at Mark 13, verses 21 and 22, and there we have discovered that the primary emphasis of the false gospels that will come near the end of time, particularly during the final tribulation period as the true gospel is silenced, will be gospels that come with some kind of outward show, that come with outward manifestations, with signs and wonders. All through history, man has desired that there might be some outward evidence. Even today, there are people, well-meaning theologians, who are still looking for a kingdom of God here on this sin-cursed earth with Christ reigning from Jerusalem. They still want the outward show as part of this earth's existence. And they fail to realize that the kingdom is within us, and it is only in the new heaven and the new earth where sin is, from which sin has been completely removed, and where we no longer are on this sin-cursed earth, but we are on a redeemed earth, that there will exist the kingdom of God in all of its glory. We will never see the kingdom of God in its glory on this sin-cursed earth. Oh yes, momentarily at judgment day as Christ comes as the King with power and great glory, and as the believers are raptured and caught up to be with Christ, indeed, that will be the kingdom of God in its glory, but that's at the end of time. That has nothing to do with the ongoing life of this present sin-cursed world. But there are so many that want some kind of outward evidence. And you'll remember earlier in our study of the Gospel of Mark, as we looked at the various characteristics of the kingdom of God, it always was that we were to walk very meek, very humbly. We were the offscouring of the nations. There was not to be any pomp and circumstance. There was not to be any glamour connected with the kingdom of God. But when Satan comes during the final tribulation period, and of course there will be a period transitioning into this when this will increasingly develop, we will see that gospels are raised up that feature signs and wonders, that feature these things that have outward show. And in our last study, we saw that many of these signs and wonders will not be true at all. They will be false. They will be chicanery. They will be deceitful. Oh, there will be one or two signs that will be truly occult activity. Indeed, there will be. But but most of it will be that which is false. There will just be a lot of deceitfulness going on as evangelists who come with other gospels seek to snare men into their gospel. And these evangelists will be very sincere. They will be very serious, seriously believing that they are serving Christ, because they also will be deceived. But now in verse 22 of Mark 13, it says that these false prophets will seduce, if possible, even the elect. Now remember, in an earlier study, we saw that the elect have to do with the true believers. The elect are those who are born from above. And if these false prophets are coming with a gospel that looks so close to the true gospel that they would deceive, if possible, even the elect, then it means that these false gospels must be very, very close to the true gospel. And we might even begin to wonder, how can we know that they are a false gospel? Well, the first great sign that God is giving us is that they feature signs and wonders. That's the first thing. And if we are going to follow the true gospel, then we don't want anything to do with signs and wonders. If we belong to a church and our pastor begins to talk about miracles this and miracles that, we ought to begin to become afraid. We don't want anything to do with signs and wonders. Oh, I might define what a miracle is so that we'll get a little more truth here, because we use this word miracle in a very careless fashion in our day. Actually, when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, instantly he has a whole hand. That's a miracle. Ordinarily, to heal a man with a withered hand, doctors would have to graft skin. There would have to be a healing process going on, and maybe eventually they could make quite a lot of progress in giving that man the use of his hand back again. That would be following the normal rules that God uses in healing, because, of course, God does heal. All healing is of God. But when it talks about a miracle where a man with a withered hand is being healed, that kind of healing is not happening today. That kind of sign or wonder is not happening today. As I already indicated in our last study, a lot of the signs and wonders are chicanery. They are deceitful. They are, someone believes they have been healed, but there's no clear evidence that there has been a healing. If there's a great healing service, you will see the hospital beds there where people have their twisted bodies who could very well stand a healing, and they will always leave the way they came. That kind of healing is not occurring. When Jesus did a sign or wonder like walking on the water, he had to set aside the law of gravity. That isn't happening today. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish so that there was an act of creation going on, that kind of sign or wonder is not going on today. You may read about this as happening in Indonesia or some land somewhere across the ocean or some far distant place, but it's always way out there. But actually, it is not happening in the world. There are no signs or wonders of that nature being done. But nevertheless, there will be signs and wonders of falsehood, and there will be two or three actual occult things happening that are supernatural to add additional credence to this whole matter of signs and wonders. Well, now, these men will come with a gospel that would lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Well, now let's think about this a moment. How can we tell what the true gospel is? How can we know what the true gospel is? The easiest way to tell is to study what the authority of that gospel might be. If, for example, we are a Mohammedan, we are really believing that the Mohammedan religion is the true religion that is going to bring eternal blessing, or whatever the Mohammedans think they're going to receive from this. What is the authority under which that religion operates? Is it under the Bible? No. Is it under the encyclopedia? No. Is it under the law of some political kingdom? No. It is by the book of Mohammedan, whatever that book is called. I believe it's called the, what is it? I don't remember what it is right offhand. But nevertheless, whatever that book is called, that is their authority. That is their law book. They believe that that is absolutely divine. It is of God. And this determines the nature of that religion. Now, the same is true of the true gospel. The authority under which we operate as the true gospel is the Bible. The Bible alone and in its entirety. It is the authority. And if we want to know truth, we go to the Bible. If we want to settle an argument concerning a doctrine, we go to the Bible. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. The Bible alone and in its entirety is the divine word. Well, now, therefore, if we would have a gospel that starts with the Bible, and they talk about the blood of Christ, and they talk about the resurrection and being born again, and heaven and hell and so on, but they believe the Bible is the word of God, but they also believe that there is another book here is divine. And there are gospels like this. They also believe that there are other writings that these two are inspired. They are a result of certain visions that someone in their church had received. Well, then, by definition, they have a different gospel than the true gospel, because they have a wider authority than the true gospel. They have the Bible plus this other book. Or if people today believe that God is still bringing revelation today, that He is bringing information to man through an unknown language called a tongue, or through a dream or a vision, then by definition, we have a different gospel, because we have a wider authority than the Bible itself. And so, again, it will not be the gospel of the Bible. Now, to show what happens when this occurs is when you begin to study the doctrines very carefully of these other gospels than the true gospel, you will find that while on the surface they sound very similar to the true gospel, yet when you study them more accurately, you will find that they hold all kinds of doctrines that are not in accordance with the true gospel. And there's a very real reason for this. You see, when we, for example, read the Old Testament, since the New Testament is also part of the Word of God, and we are to compare Scripture with Scripture, letting the Bible explain the Bible, we read the Old Testament in light of what the New Testament teaches. And the New Testament is a shadow that lies over the Old Testament and helps us to understand the Old Testament. Anyone who reads the Old Testament and tries to understand it without the benefit of the New Testament is going to come up with wrong doctrines. It's a very serious matter. It's imperative that we read the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. But now, if we have the whole Bible, and now here comes someone with even a later revelation that they received in a dream or a vision, Well, that's the latest revelation, and that carries great weight because it is the most contemporary. It is the latest indication of God's will, and that will be a shadow that lies over the whole Bible. And so anything we read in the Bible will also be interpreted in the light of what was brought in this later revelation. And that is the reason in these Gospels that even though they use the terminology of the true gospel, come up with all kinds of doctrines that are not in accord with the Word of God. They have been reading the Bible in the light of their wider revelation, their wider authority, and have been coming, therefore, to different conclusions. To sum up, in other words, God, or we can know that we have the true gospel if we stick only with the Bible. Now, when God completed, or before the Bible was completed, it was true that God was still adding to the words of the Bible. In the days of the church at Corinth, for example, there were those who spoke in tongues. That is, God would give messages in unknown languages called tongues. This could be in the form of a prayer. It could be in the form of a praise. It could be in the form of an additional revelation. And when this was interpreted, this message could be brought to the congregation, and that could be added to the written word, and so the congregation had a more complete idea of the whole will of God. But they still did not have the whole will of God because they did not have the whole New Testament. When the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul received a message in a vision, they could... That also was a revelation from God, and it could be added to what they already had as the written word, and so they had a more complete revelation of the will of God. But when God came to the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, namely Revelation 22, then God declared in verse 18, "If anyone adds to the words of this book, I will add to him the plagues written herein." In other words, God effectively was saying, never again is there anything else to be added. I've given you now my whole revelation. You have the whole New Testament, which is more than any of the apostles had before, or the church at Corinth had, or any of the believers heretofore have had. Now you have the whole revelation. And if you think that there is something more to be added because of some dream or vision or experience you have received, you try to add that additional information to the Word of God, believing that it too is divine, then by that action you are showing you are still subject to damnation. You are still subject to the plagues written herein. And by the same token, Revelation 22 verse 19 goes on and says, "And if you take away from the words of this book, I will take away your share in the tree of life." In other words, it is the whole Bible that is the Word of God. We are to let both the Old Testament and the New Testament be the scriptures that are profitable for reproof and for correction and training in righteousness and so on. Well, this is what the true gospel is. It is circumscribed by the Bible. Now you will find today that wherever you find signs and wonders, you will also almost invariably find that they start with the Bible, but they're still interested in additional revelation through dreams or visions or tongues or voices or angel visitations. Invariably, these two go together. Or to say it another way, wherever you find people believing that there is still the possibility of divine revelation today through sign or through dreams or visions or tongues, you will also find an interest in miracles or signs and wonders. And again, let me underscore, invariably, these two go together. And this is what defines another gospel. And this is the kind of gospel that God warns concerning the final tribulation period. This is what is going to be the great success story. As I have said many times during the last 10 or 12 years since I have really studied this question very carefully through the scriptures, if you really want to get on the bandwagon of spiritual, religious, gospel success, then get with those who feature signs and wonders, those who are interested in dreams and visions and tongues. They are the great success story. This has begun to develop all through the world in all kinds of congregations and denominations. It is found in every nation. It is found wherever the true gospel is being proclaimed. And church after church and denomination after denomination is becoming more and more interested in this phenomenon or in this kind of a gospel. And those who become involved in this are convinced they have the true gospel. They are convinced that they are serving Christ. And they are particularly convinced because there is this outward show. There is this outward manifestation. There are these experiences that people have. And so they so these movements are growing throughout the world. And they are the great success story. On the other hand, as we read these passages very carefully, we find that the true gospel is going to be pinched off more and more. And of course, finally, the time will come when the last of the elect are saved, and then the true gospel will get no hearing any longer. You remember that we've seen this develop as we looked at various passages in the Bible, or as Jesus put it in John 9, work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If you want to be on the losing team, stick with the true gospel. It will look as if times are getting worse and worse. You're going to feel more and more lonely if you stick with the true gospel. Of course, the end of the story has not been told. The last minute of the last inning of the ball game has not been played. But when that last minute of the last inning is being played, then Christ comes on the clouds of glory. And then the true believers are revealed for what they are. And they're caught up in the air to be with Christ. And all of these who have been following other gospels, all of these who have been following other gospels will discover that they have been following the wrong gospel. They are still unsaved, and they are still here. They will not be raptured to be with Christ. They will have to stand for judgment. And what a terrible, terrible day that will be. Now, you'll notice here in Mark chapter 13, verse 22, it says that these false prophets will deceive or seduce, if possible, even the elect. Now, the elect are normally found in the churches and congregations where the true gospel ought to be proclaimed. And therefore, since they will be hearing these false gospels, it means that this is where these false gospels will conduct themselves. They will be in the churches and congregations where the true gospel ought to be proclaimed. This is why we read in 2 Thessalonians 2 about the man of sin taking his seat in the temple. Satan, through these false prophets, will rule in the congregations. This is why we read earlier in Mark 13 that when the abomination of desolation is in where it ought not be, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. We have to flee out of our churches and congregations when they have become another gospel. We cannot remain there any longer. This has become a false gospel. This is no longer true to the Word of God. It ultimately is a gospel of Satan. Even those who are involved in it sing the song, the same hymns that are sung by the true believers. They conduct the same kind of a worship service. The choirs are singing beautifully, and the crusades are going on, and the evangelists are holding forth. But all of it is under a different authority. It is the Bible plus something else. It is the Bible plus additional revelation. And the biggest and the big emphasis will be on signs and wonders of one kind or another. Now the question logically can be raised, well, if I have a loved one who has been snared into one of these other gospels already today, are they saved? Suppose here is a man of God who has served the Lord so wonderfully throughout the years, and now he has accepted the idea of signs and wonders and dreams and visions and so on. Doesn't this show that this is the true gospel? Well, I'd like to look at some of these questions in our next study. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.